Bill Gates wasn't just brilliant, he was brilliantly positioned. Born in 1955 to a supportive family with resources, his story reveals how extraordinary privilege intersected with obsessive determination at precisely the right technological moment. Known as Happy Boy for his perpetual grin, young Gates possessed a mind that worked differently, laser-focused on subjects that captured him while completely disregarding everything else. This selective attention became both his superpower and his challenge. His hyperkinetic, brainy, and often contrarian nature shaped family dynamics in ways that ultimately served his development. While his father embodied calm pragmatism, his mother, who once insisted on standing on tiptoes when her future husband initially rejected her as too short for dancing, instilled ambition and confidence. Family dinners became forums for intellectual discussion, where Gates absorbed values about fairness and civic responsibility that would later influence his philanthropy. When traditional schooling failed to engage him, his parents sought solutions rather than trying to force conformity, a crucial decision that allowed his analytical mind to flourish in its own way. When a perceptive teacher introduced the struggling student to school librarian Blanche Cafier, everything changed. As her assistant, Gates discovered the logical organization of the Dewey Decimal System, treating reshelving like a personal competition and often skipping recess to immerse himself in books. Mrs. Cafier recognized his capabilities rather than his challenges, perhaps the first person outside his family to do so. But the true transformation came in 1967 when Lakeside School acquired a computer terminal connected to a system in California. The math department had gotten a teletype ASR33 that connected via phone line, a system called timesharing. Despite the significant expense, over $1,000 yearly plus $8 per hour for computer time, the school gambled that someone would figure out how to use it. That someone was Gates. The computer room quickly became a domain for competitive teenage boys, with Gates determined not to let anyone outshine him. Paul Allen, 2 years his senior, exploited this beautifully with challenges like, "Bill, you think you're so smart, you figure this thing out." Their teacher, Fred Wright, brilliantly provided no formal instruction or limits, trusting that without constraints, they'd teach themselves. The feedback loop of programming proved addictive, perfectly matching Gates' natural abilities for logical thinking and intense focus. In eighth grade, Gates bonded deeply with Kent Evans, a new student who became his closest friend. Unlike Gates, Kent was unconcerned with social status and pursued his interests with singular focus. Their friendship centered on marathon phone calls and shared ambitions as they studied biographies of successful leaders and discussed their long-term goals. Their partnership flourished at Computer Center Corporation, CCUBD, where they advanced from bug testing to serious programming. Kent's entrepreneurial spirit emerged when he created Lakeside Programming Group to obtain free materials from computer companies. Tragically, Kent died in a mountain climbing accident during their junior year. Though devastating, the ambition he had helped kindle in Gates would persist. After CCUBE's collapse, Lakeside contracted with Information Sciences Inc., ISI, for computer time. When Gates and friends hacked their system for free usage and got caught, Kent devised a plan. They sent an official-looking letter from the Lakeside Programming Group offering their services. ISI gave them a job developing a payroll program for a pipe organ manufacturer, with the compensation being free computer time. The project revealed the group's competitive dynamics, with Paul Allen and Rick Weiland initially firing Gates and Kent, claiming insufficient work for four people. Weeks later, they realized the complexity of payroll systems and asked them back. Gates demanded leadership and redistributed compensation, assigning himself and Kent larger portions. They completed the program just in time, working overnight until Paul borrowed equipment without permission, getting them banned. The next morning, they caught a greyhound to Portland, dressed in blazers with briefcases in hand, nervous about being dismissed as mere kids. Instead, ISI executives took them seriously, reviewing their code and offering more work. While Gates believed they were genuine hotshots, looking back, he recognizes the helping hands of adults who facilitated these opportunities while letting them prove themselves. This marked their transition from make-believe to creating something of real-world value, a crucial step in Gates' development as an entrepreneur. At Harvard, Gates gained special access to the PDP-10 through Professor Cheatham, spending countless nights coding in the Eichen Lab. Though intellectually stimulated, Harvard challenged his self-image as the smartest person, particularly in Math 55. The pivotal moment came in January 1975, when Paul Allen showed him Popular Electronics featuring the Altair 8800. Recognizing the opportunity, despite the computer's basic interface, they developed BASIC for it without having the actual machine. Paul created a simulator on Harvard's PDP-10 to emulate the 8080 chip, while Gates skipped classes to code. After 6 weeks of intense work with Paul and Monty Davidoff, they completed the interpreter. Paul's successful demonstration to MIT's founder Ed Roberts led to an immediate licensing deal. The partners named their venture Microsoft, combining microcomputers and software. When Gates visited MITS in Albuquerque in 1975, he found a bustling operation shipping Altair computers to enthusiastic customers, some driving long distances for immediate pickup. While hobbyist computer clubs nationwide embraced free software sharing aligned with counterculture ideals, Gates and Allen envisioned Microsoft as a software factory producing commercial programs. After widespread piracy of their BASIC interpreter, Gates penned an open letter to hobbyists, arguing that quality software development required financial incentives. He highlighted how their $40,000 investment in development time yielded minimal returns. By spring 1966, with $20,000 in monthly revenue from clients like NCR, Microsoft hired its first employee, Mark McDonald. Their strategy focused on building both reputation and profitability. After winning arbitration against MITS in 1977, Microsoft gained full ownership of their source code and began serving waiting customers directly. The company thrived as the 1977 trinity of personal computers, Commodore PET, Apple II, and Radio Shack TRS-80, brought computing mainstream, each running Microsoft BASIC. Seeking a better location for talent, retention, and growth, Gates chose Seattle over Dallas-Fort Worth and Silicon Valley for its university pipeline and distance from competitors. In December 1978, their 12-person team relocated from Albuquerque. Gates acknowledges his privileged background, natural mathematical ability, and parents' balanced guidance in shaping his success. His mother's emphasis on philanthropic responsibility influenced his later foundation work. Looking back, Gates sees his core traits were present early on, an inquisitive mind eager to understand the world's underlying patterns.